Time to hear from Flotess, your first lady of the Eugene sports scene, as well as a gifted songstress. She was on the scene for the Thrilla last night at Matt Knight Arena. Find her work for KEZI Sports, channel 709 in high def on your Xfinity system. Catch up, KEZI.com, on Twitter, at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, how are you?
Are you really calling last night's game a thrilla? Because I have some problems with that.
Why? What's wrong? Went down to the wire.
Yeah, it went down to the wire. But that was, I mean, when you think of a thriller, you think of like a really great game. And that wasn't the highest quality of basketball we've seen from Oregon in a long time. That was more just like biting your nails, praying that Oregon gets the win, so that they're not just going to be completely trashed by Arizona tomorrow. But, I mean, the guys were pretty happy post-game. I mean, they were joking around, and they know they didn't shoot the ball well. Whether or not they can use that to actually spark a strong start against Arizona, that is the question.
Yeah, actually, you were on Twitter, and of course, it didn't seem logical. Off the loss to Colorado, coming back home, the problems ASU's had on defense. What did Dana Altman have to say about that performance that somehow got them a W after the game?
Yeah, I mean, Dana's talked all season about how he's happy that his team could find ways to win, but at this point in the season, you can't have that kind of quality that they did last night. And he was pretty open about that. I mean, I asked him if he thought that this team is ready to take on Arizona, and he said, based upon their play last night, no. We know something changes by 1 o'clock on Saturday. But I think offensively, their shooting was just really bad. And Dana said, you know, and there, if you, you know, 31 games in the season, if you take a look at the 30 games, you know, maybe 10 games you're going to shoot better than you should. 10 games is going to be average shooting, and 10 games you're going to have poor shooting. And it just so happened that the ASU game fell into that last category, besides the fact that Dylan Brooks just went off in the last few minutes. I mean, he single-handedly carried the Ducks to that win last night, which is just phenomenal to see. And, you know, the team's rallying behind him. So that's great to see the chemistry there. But, you know, I was talking to Jordan Bell. He said he is happy that the guys were able to find a way to defend. And even when their shots aren't falling, they're still able to get a win out. But maybe a little worrisome heading into Arizona that they're not firing on all cylinders. But hopefully, I mean, the guy said they know they're going to be underdogs taking on the Wildcats. So hopefully with that chip on their shoulder and that kind of mentality, Oregon usually plays well with that kind of mindset.
Well, should be a fun one tomorrow. As
yeah,
we
that should be the thrilla.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. The recruiting week that comes upon us is I always say, heaven help us all. We know it's important. The tidal wave of what we don't know, and what we do know is there's been a change at the top of the program and some outside issues impacting the early days of Willie Taggart's regime. Do you feel that they overcame those kinds of obstacles and landed a pretty solid class of 2017?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if you look at some of the national sites, they said that the only other person who did a better job recruiting in his first year was Ed Orgeron. And having, you know, worked with Ed Orgeron before, back when he was at USC, I mean, he's one heck of a recruiter. So, I mean, you know, Oregon did a great job. You know, end of the day, they landed a top 20 recruiting class, top 20 signing class. That's pretty darn good, you know, got some phenomenal players that can come in. And Taggart was kind of saying all the right things. You know, he said that when I asked him what kind of pieces he was looking for, he said everywhere, because he wants these new guys to be able to compete with the current players for their starting positions. So, you know, you have to like that kind of competitive energy that he's trying to bring to the program. And, of course, it was brought up about the off-season or off-field issues. And he was open. You know, he said that he was able to turn them into positives because he was able to tell, you know, what happened and be open and be honest about it. And first of all, he said that some of the guys that have been with him since day one, some of those recruits, they didn't believe some of the things that had been said or were being said or whatnot. And so he said it just didn't end up being that big of an issue for them. You know, parents were appreciative of the fact that he wasn't hiding anything and he was being honest and giving his side. So that was, you know, surprising to hear that he was able to do so well, even with those issues. And then the last thing I think is, this is more of like a media thing than anything, but it was interesting because after about 20 minutes of his press conference, when all the media isn't talking with him, one of the SIDs for Oregon said, okay, we're going to take one more question. And Taggart looked at him and was like, no, no, no. Like, let's keep going. Like, I want to hear more from you guys.
You never see that, by the way.
No, literally never. That is so surprising. And then he, you know, I went up and introduced myself after to him, and he basically came out from behind this podium. He's like, no, I just want to talk with you guys face to face. So Taggart's definitely doing a really great job right now, not pandering to the media, but being open. And that's something that we haven't seen before, is that kind of transparency. So, you know, signing day, big hit for Taggart.
So did you introduce yourself as Kristen Rogers, KEZI sports journalist, or Kristen Rogers recording artist?
Obviously the former. I will never introduce myself as the latter.
No.
But, no, I mean, it was great. I mean, he definitely seems like he's, you know, getting this program going in the right direction after a few speed bumps. So it looks like Oregon's definitely going the right way.
Yeah, actually, a final thought on that, because it got noticed not only locally and, you know, the major markets around here, but nationally. It's kind of a cliche, you know, new coach, new culture. But and you played a segment of the press conference on your Twitter feed. What did he have to say about, you know, having come from SEC country, I guess maybe the methodology of communicating with this generation of recruits?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest change that we've been able to see so far between Taggart's, you know, reign at Oregon and what we saw from Chip Kelly and what we saw from Mark Selfridge, is that he's actually tweeting. Like, he is using social media.
Yep.
He is using modern forms of communication to get with recruits, and I thought it was refreshing. I mean, he said this again to me on signing day, but he said it before, that he thinks recruiting is kind of like personal hygiene, you know, brushing your teeth, combing your hair. As soon as you stop doing it, you'll look bad. And that's true. And I think that he's, you know, staying on top of it, you know, already giving out the offers to 2018 guys, which is crazy to think about.
Yep.
We need to take a break. But I think he's doing a good job, because when you start kind of pushing those the attention towards the recruits, not only is the recruit thinking, hey, this coach likes me, but he made a good point that it also makes the fans feel involved. And it gives the fans a visible chance to see what's going on behind closed doors. So Oregon fans, for the first time, were able to see just how hard the staff was working to recruit players. And that makes fans more excited for the new recruits coming in. So I think it's kind of a win-win-win situation, and was really refreshing to see for this program.
Talking with Kristen Rogers, KEZI, we have to kind of co-geek out a bit here. The wee hours Saturday morning, the Williams sisters square off in a final, and our girl Riri takes down Venus, breaks the tie with Steffi Graf at 23. I know she's pretty much been the elite player most of your life, but thoughts on seeing her do it again at age 35?
Just phenomenal. I mean, it was such a great match, such a fun match. I tweeted out, I thought that match was going to go to three sets. Obviously, it didn't. My one caveat was, if Serena takes the first set, that it's over.
Right.
And I mean, that's what you saw. Serena was just playing loose. She's playing confident. And I personally loved the Nike commercials that followed it up. That it went from, you know, all of the, you know, maybe extra add-ons you have with calling her the greatest of all time. And she is. I mean, she, you know, besides Margaret Court, who has one other title, she's at 24, and, you know, those technically aren't in the modern era.
Nope.
Serena is unreal. So it's, I mean, greatest of all time. I'll gladly call her the GOAT. It's awesome to see her play like that, especially at 35 right now.
Yeah, I always say that I could make a case for Steffi, and having seen her play, winning her 22 in about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've seen, whether it's been Davenport or, you know, whether it was Jennifer Capriati, and for other reasons, Steffi retired at 29. To still be going strong when she, you know, she's going to play Wimbledon, then the U.S. Open at 36, it's unprecedented, is probably the best way to put it.
She's the GOAT. Only way to say it.
All right. If you insist. Tiger. Didn't even come close to making the cut last week. Had to pull out with an injury this week. I've said this for a couple years now, that he'll eventually heal to a degree. And obviously, you're way too young, but Jack Nicklaus, Fred Couples, even into their late 40s and 50s, they had health issues, but they found a way to contend at Augusta. Do you get a sense that Tiger just beat himself up too much over the years, and that he's never going to be a regular competitor, but we may see flashes here and there?
Maybe. I mean, I think you're always going to see some great things come out of Tiger. So maybe that is the flashes you're talking about. But I mean, he said that the back spasms that caused him to pull out of Dubai, like, weren't related to, like, the other back issues he's had before, which is kind of, you know, hard to understand. I do want to make a funny point, because we have talked about this before, Steve, about how growing up, you're either, like, a Dodgers fan, a Giants fan, Packers fan, Vikings fan. In my family, it was you were either a Tiger Woods fan or a Phil Mickelson fan. Obviously, my family falls. We love Lefty. So my mom made a bet with my dad, because Tiger was supposed to play, what, four events in 5 weeks or something like that, which was crazy to think after all the health issues that he's had. And my mom bet $100 with my dad that he was going to pull out of one of those events.
Nice.
So, yeah, my mom is getting paid right now. not that any of us thought that he wasn't going to pull out. But, I mean, so it's not that surprising. I think at some point he is going to have to get to a level where he can have a consistent swing. I mean, he said before that even just walking on the course has been tough for him, because he's not used to, you know, walking full 18s every day. So I think that maybe it's, I don't want to say fitness, because he's a fit guy, but he is going to have to get to a point where he can play consistently good golf, which is surprising to say, because it is Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it is Tiger Woods. Super Sunday, 48 hours away. I know you're a Niners fan, and obviously there's no real rivalry or connection with the Pats or the Falcons, but as a sports fan, you know, whether it's Brady chasing another piece of history, Ryan trying to, for the Falcons, join the Seahawks and Saints as, you know, recent first-time winners. Do you have a preference here, rooting interest? I mean, what's your feel heading into Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I feel like maybe it's because it's been basketball season. I'm, like, missing the buildup to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, I'm going for Atlanta, I guess. Like, you know, I'd just rather see another team besides the Patriots win. But the only thing I'm focused on right now, because I will be anchoring on Sunday, and obviously we'll have highlights, but I'm making my world-famous guac. Bring it
into
the station. Do it every year. It's going to be good.
It sounds kind of yummy. What are you and Mike and the KEZI crew up to all weekend?
Yeah, so obviously high school hoops tonight. I was just looking at the schedule. It's crazy to think that in 6A, some of the last games for Sheldon.
Yeah, really.
They're like 2 weeks away, like February 17th. Crazy to think. So knocking out another night of high school hoops is going to be a good one. And then, of course, I will be at that Arizona-Oregon game tomorrow. Fingers crossed, that's a thriller. Love to see some high-level basketball. But I think the key for Oregon there is just making sure that they are strong and good to go the second that tip-off happens, or else they're going to get behind the eight ball, and that's not going to be good.
All right. Again, KEZI sports reporter is Kristen Rogers on Twitter, at Kristen E. Rogers, KEZI.com, channel 709 in high def on your Xfinity system. Kristen, always a lot of fun. Pleasure to have you, and we'll chat tomorrow courtside.
Sounds great. See you then, Steve.
All right, take it easy.